Hello and welcome to our UFC 329 post show. I'm Ariel Helwani here in Las Vegas. That is New York Rick. That is GC Connor Burks. That is PT Carroll representing UFC Freedom 250. UFC 329 just wrapped up right here in Las Vegas seconds ago, and the main event was absolutely shocking, and not for the reasons that you may think, in case you didn't watch. In case you didn't watch, it all lasted 69 seconds. Conor McGregor, Max Holloway ends in devastating fashion for Conor McGregor. He is injured. He's compromised. We don't know exactly what happened, but essentially what happened was the fight starts. He throws left kick, and clearly his right knee blows out. His right knee is injured. Now, there's some cruel irony involved. He did tear his ACL when he fought Max Holloway back in 2013. That kept him out for exactly a year, and he came back, looked good, went on that magical run, but here he is. I don't know if that was an ACL. I don't know what exactly happened, but he tried to fight through it. And it kept buckling. It kept buckling to the point where Max was talking to Mike Beltran and essentially said, the referee, Mike Beltran, and essentially said, like, come on, man, this has to end. And it ended. So no Carlos Ulberg theatrics, no unbelievable showing from Conor McGregor. And they did show a moment as he was taking his shoes off, as he was about to enter the cage when they were doing the whole Vaseline check-in thing, where he kind of stumbled out of his shoes. Did it get injured there? Was it a pre-existing injury? Did anything happen before the fight, in the fight? We don't know what happened other than when he threw that kick, it very clearly buckled. Something happened, and then it was hard for him to stand. They stopped the fight. He has to sit on the stool. He's in a lot of pain. He's emotional. He walks out of the cage. He does not speak to the crowd this time. He does not address the crowd, and he seems devastated. And now here we are just days before his 38th birthday, questioning if that is the end of Conor McGregor, if that's the last time we see him inside the octagon. Paddy Pimblett won via unbelievable first round Darce choke against Benoit Saint-Denis. All in all, guys, a devastating kind of anticlimactic end to what was an unbelievable card from the UFC. 7 first round finishes on this card, tied for the most ever. And, well, I guess now it's 8 first-round finishes, I guess you could say.
It is.
So that is the most ever. 8 first-round finishes. It just kind of hit me because that didn't really feel like a finish. Yeah. But, yes, it was. It was very clearly a finish. And it was, it was the best way that I could describe it. DC compared it to Ciryl Gane versus Tom Aspinall, but it wasn't, because Ciryl Gane versus Tom Aspinall was a fight in which we saw them exchange. We saw some drama. We saw Aspinall in trouble. This never really got going. Your immediate thoughts, Rick?
Devastating, right? Like, all the buildup, all the hype, all the anticipation, everything was supposed to culminate with this. And to your point, the card was delivering, right? Every single fight on this card was delivering, delivering, delivering. And then we get this main event, the theatrics, Conor McGregor's walkout, the thing we've been waiting for so long. For it to end like this, it feels unfulfilling. It feels like we didn't get what we came for. The thing that I can't shake is maybe we should have seen it coming, right? Guys just don't go through the injury that he went through 5 years away from the cage and come back and be the same. You have to have long-term concerns about his health, regardless of when the injury happened. If he came in with it, if it happened at the checkpoint, if it happened throwing the kick, there isn't an outcome there that makes me confident that this man can step back in the cage and be healthy. It's an unfortunate reality for somebody who, you know, is one of the bigger stars in our sport and is able to drive the type of attention and excitement that he's been able to. But you do wonder if this might be the last time now.
Yeah, I think it is the last time we see him. I think the fact that he was away for 5 years, and a lot of us wondered what he was going to even look like, and it ends like that in, what was it, a minute 9 seconds? And it's from a leg injury. I mean, he threw one kick, and he could barely even support himself. I don't know how you can – I know Max was calling for a third fight. I don't know how you could possibly sell that. I don't know how you could believe that he's going to be able to sustain a fight at a high level at this point in his career. I don't even know if he could box. Like, there's just no telling where he's at in his career. To me, this is the worst possible scenario for how this could have gone for McGregor.
This is always a concern you're going to have with McGregor, considering how the last few years went. The last time we saw him, the last image of him as a professional fighter is him clutching his leg and roaring at Dustin Poirier's wife. This was, he had the whole sport eaten out of the palm of his hand leading up to this fight. Everybody thought he could reel back the years. Everybody wanted a McGregor moment. Everybody was really just waiting for him to come back and be the guy, give us an indication that he had some part of that guy left in him. And honestly, we saw maybe at the press conference, I know you were saying it was vintage Conor McGregor, that was the furthest thing from that tonight, unfortunately. And I think, honestly, there was something wrong with him before he got in that cage tonight. Because when he was in there, it was like nothing I'd ever seen him do. He was looking out into the crowd. He didn't really lock eyes with Max. Every time McGregor gets into the cage, it's more than any other fighter. He has thought about everything to a degree where every movement he makes is planned. And that looked like a guy who was disassociated with the moment for me. I just wonder, because this guy is magic in terms of his ability to make people believe and make people suspend belief. I'm with GC. I don't think he will fight again. But I don't believe he can fight again in terms of his body just where it's at now. I just don't think it will go through. I do believe he will attempt to. I just wonder, will he get that same excitement that we've seen so many times where everyone goes, he's back. Look, he's got his hair cut. You know, we're seeing that right up to the fight tonight. Like, he can do this like nobody else. Will he be able to ever even recapture the imaginations of people like that ever again after something like that?
Well, a few notes. We'll find out if he does do it again. But this was the highest gate in UFC history, $25 million. So still very clearly a draw. But the next time around, will people want to, you know, shell that kind of cash, considering what happened here and really what happened in the last fight as well? To your point, he was playing the hits. He did shave his head. He did the mohawk. Longtime McGregor fans, first thing they noted was, oh, this is how he looked when he fought Marcus Brimage in his debut way back in 2013 in Sweden. And so it seemed like he was trying to sort of draw on that. He was trying to take us back to that time with the way he was speaking, with the Billy strut, with everything that made him who he was. But, you know, Father Time undefeated, layoff undefeated, everything that he's been through and done to himself undefeated. And to me, it's deflating. It's unfulfilling. It kind of, it's not the same feeling as Ronda versus Gina, but it's sort of like you sat there and you were like, ugh.
No, it's not even close to it. Honestly, going into that, we were at the Ronda Gina fight. That was sort of like, well, this is what I thought was going to happen. Yeah, it was a short fight, but so like that was the outcome I was expecting. This feels like you had a balloon and it was blowing and blowing up all week, and then just someone just beep, and then just all the air got sucked out of it. We didn't get to find anything out. And you mentioned, like, obviously, he is still a draw. People are going to want to watch him. He broke the gate. I would imagine at the time of his walkout, we saw Argentina finish their game. I imagine a lot of people switched over. It's going to be one of the most viewed cards in this Paramount era. The question is, can he recreate that now? Can you make that happen again?
Or does he want to? Do you want to go through a whole training camp only to find out that your body...
There's an irony to the point that, like, he's coming out and he's trying to be this version of himself that he previously was with these acrobatic kicks. And it's the first kick he threw, his body gives up.
But by the way, let's not pretend that he's the only athlete in the history of time who has tried to turn back the clock when he clearly doesn't have it anymore. Every athlete does that. So that's not exclusive to him, but it's just so apparent. Like, most athletes kind of fall off that cliff gradually. This has become so sudden. Like, he can't even do a simple thing that he was able to do in the past. We have some footage here, courtesy of ESPN, of Conor walking to the back. And he obviously is quite emotional, as you can see.
I kind of feel like watching these scenes of him walking out, of him on the stool and everything like that, it almost feels like he truly can't believe it. Because you talk about whether he was disassociated or dejected, knew he was injured going into it. He has that ability to make people believe, and he obviously believes in himself as well to do these things. It feels like he's in disbelief that he waited this long to make the return, obviously worked hard in the training camp, and this is how it ends.
I think he will be able to make people believe again. I just think that he is just such a showman.
Like, he could very well say, I'm done.
And this is what I was getting to.
This is embarrassing.
He looked at the gloves, right?
He did. Yeah, I don't know if that was to take them off.
Yeah, of course.
Symbolically, but this is embarrassing. You know what I mean? For him.
It's absolutely, yeah.
You don't want to show up in front of all these celebrities, all these people, and your body breaks down.
He needs to make himself believe again. That's the important thing. Like, he will make people believe again. I'm not sure that he'll believe again. I'm not sure that somebody whose last two times that they stepped in there, their body betrayed them in that way, right? Now, the first one was an absolute, like, devastating injury, not something where...
He says, that's that there. See that?
He kind of just gave it up.
That's what he said?
He said, that's that.
They just showed...
Can't rewind it.
Yeah, they just showed a series of clips on the post show of...
Sorry.
Connor's leg... sort of, you know,
giving out on him. Yeah.
The first was when he threw that kick. The second, he throws a left. He falls. He stumbles. And then he continues to stumble. And again, the whole thing lasted 69 seconds. I can assure you there are people online saying, well, Carlos Ullberg knocked out Jiří Prochazka with a torn ACL. You couldn't fight through it.
Hang on. McGregor had to go on courses of PEDs to make himself in a situation to be able to compete again.
Sure.
Like, what does he have to do now? This is clearly another injury.
No, but I'm saying it only makes it worse.
Oh, yeah, it makes
that
it worse.
2 months ago, Carlos Ullberg won a fight and knocked someone out with a... This all doesn't help the fan sentiment towards him that, hey, okay, like some people would chalk it up to a freak injury.
Yeah.
He's going to get buried for this because they say... You know, you were never going to come back. He should have never come back. Like you could just see it. I could read all the things, and it's not necessarily unfair, by the way, because it didn't materialize into anything.
That is a proper question here. Like this is a guy that's made more money than anyone in the history of this sport. Why do you think he did it? Like what do you think is the main motivate to get out of his contract so he can fight somewhere else? It does seem like the lengths that he went to fight here. Like, including all the stuff that the New York Times brought out in terms of PEDs, HGH, continuous use, all this kind of stuff. And to have that kind of result, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just thinking about all of the shit he would have to do to get himself back in a position to compete again. If that's what it took last time, and it took 5 years, and we had the toe break before the Chandler fight, which is another indication of his body not holding up the way it was. And funnily enough, you know, you mentioned the Ullberg thing. Pereira walked into that fight, took his place with a broken toe, and it was a similar kind of thing where people were weighing it up. The more you think about it, the more I'm with GC here, where like I just don't think you can...
I may be a prisoner of the moment in how sort of deflating this end result is after such a fantastic card leading up to this point. But man, I just don't know how you can get back to a point where it's just like, Conor McGregor's back, he's fighting again, and there's that same sort of excitement. Like the numbers he was doing on all of the YouTube, on the social, I would imagine for Paramount Plus just now... with the gate, with everything, I just don't know how that can happen again after this performance. We saw him away for 5 years. The questions were, does he still have it? It just got answered. No, he does not.
Well, he was asked by multiple people, including myself, why? Why are you doing this? What's the point? And he continued to say, for the love of the game. Now, is that the truth? We don't know. I believe that over the course of the last couple of years, he had an identity crisis. And now as he's trying to talk about, you know, religion and purity and all this stuff, well, what's the best way to sort of cleanse your soul in his mind? It's, let me go back to the thing that I was great at. And so, yes, I do believe that there was an element of, it's not unique to him. Every single athlete who's at the twilight of his career tries to turn back the clock one last time. I do think that there's an element of that involved. Does he need the money? I don't know. I don't think it's fair for
that
any of us
really
to...
That would be really shit, wouldn't it? Like, if that was the situation
I don't think it's fair for any of us to speculate that. Who knows what he did with his money, but he wouldn't be the first athlete and boxer or fighter in particular to need money and to keep fighting. So none of these things are unique to him. The problem is he is the biggest star in the history of the sport, and he is held to a certain standard. And over the last few years, that standard hasn't been met. And so he is also a very proud person, and I don't think he wants to go back. If it is truly his body failing him and he is not healthy enough to compete, I don't think we're ever going to see him again. I don't think we're ever going to see him compete again because I don't think he wants to be embarrassed. Now, he does have one fight left on his UFC contract. They're not going to let him walk. Maybe you see him do something like some sort of, you know, influencer fight or something. You know,
how much does that damage it? Like in terms of, we were talking about that and him getting to the end of this deal where there's like a $100 million to fight blah, 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 Jake Paul or whatever the hell. How much does that affect that image? That's twice in a row, as Rick said earlier.
I personally think it's massive. You just said that they were showing a slow-mo of him when the fight got called, and he said to himself, that's that. I've just had a brief look at Twitter in the in-between, just kind of glancing. And the sentiment from the fans seems to be like, well, that was Conor McGregor's return, it's over. I'm seeing the Aaron Rodgers meme, I'm seeing the Simpsons coming in and out. And I know people are going to say that in the moment and everything, but like it kind of feels like it's like, all right.
Has it devalued him so significantly?
That's it.
We are being prisoners of the moment in the sense that we're calling this career done before he's even had a second to process it, right? Like, he walked out of that cage.
Fair thing to bring up.
Look at that.
No, it's a fair thing to bring up, absolutely. But I don't think we can make any determination on what this is until we hear from Conor McGregor, right? This is the person that I need to hear from. I'm trying to think of a closest comparison, and Ariel, you tell me if I'm off base. more of these feel like NBA type things, right? There's like Kevin Durant and guys who have multiple injuries. But I guess the closest comparison that I can think of is maybe Dominic Cruz. Like devastating type of injuries that really kept him out a long time. And he had the will to kind of come back. I can't quite think of anybody, definitely not back-to-back injuries in the way that right. Connor has. But Dominic Cruz is probably the one who has, in my mind, overcome his body failing him at different times and come back successfully. The difference between what I believe Dominic Cruz in those scenarios and maybe Conor McGregor now is that Dominic Cruz had the will to come back. Dominic Cruz, despite the fact that everybody said, you're done, you're never going to be the same, wanted to do it and was willing himself to do it and made himself able to do it. If Conor McGregor has that same willpower, if Conor McGregor had maybe this new faith or whatever it is that he has found points him in that direction, I think we will see him again. But if he is sitting there ruminating and stewing and thinking about his body failing him, and that's the only thing he can think about, I don't think we will see him again. But I don't think that the fan appetite, I don't think that the business of Conor McGregor is over unless Conor McGregor deems it to be over.
But does it affect it?
It definitely affects it.
How much? Like
a significant amount. If this went differently, even if he was like valiant in defeat, I think it would have gone a long way. The fact that this never got started and now you can't trust him in back-to-back fights to step in there healthy, that's rough. That's not good.
I think even if he had gotten knocked out in the first round, it wouldn't have affected it this much. This feels like an implication on his body being able to hold up to fight at this level. And it just, it feels like he can't.
And this was the thing we talked about for those gaps I used to be saying to you when we were doing the Ringer show and he'd be like, I'm going to fight then. This was the thing I said. Like his body just, it doesn't seem to be there anymore. And
it does make you wonder how he survived the training camp. You know, we don't know what the training camp was.
He didn't see a lot of training camp.
Of course. But I'm just saying, if the body was that, like, that was nothing. That was a thing that he had done a million times before. And for it to break down that quickly, no, like a non-contact injury, just for it to happen like that, it does make you wonder. There's a million questions. Was he injured before? How much did he push himself in training? Like, all these things now come to light, or at least are, I think, fair questions to raise. You do bring up a good point about Dominic. Dominic didn't have the distractions, though.
He's on the show. I'd love to hear from him.
Let's not try to get people to switch over right now. I mean, golly. Dominic didn't have the distraction, so it was maybe easier for him to come back. Also, Dominic came back and won a title and then got injured again, but he still like had multiple setbacks and came back and reached the very top and stuck around for another 6-7 years. So this is this is going out with a whimper. If this is it, if this is the final, like we all thought, what a horrible final lasting image for Conor McGregor on the mat yelling at Dustin's wife.
This is worse.
And this is just like,
it's worse.
I don't want to say.
You could feel.
I don't know which one's worse, to be honest.
This one, because you could feel the piss and vinegar still there. When he's sitting there with his legs snapped in half.
Can I tell you why I disagree? Because that was like, there was no class. Like, at least here he walked out and like he got injured. But like, I was like, you don't yell at someone's wife.
It was
that
classless.
Felt like the very. What do you mean?
I know, but
how could him getting injured in a freak injury be worse than being like,
McGregor.
Your wife is in my DMs? That was way worse. That was embarrassing to his brand.
Well,
this is just a freak injury.
Are we talking about him as a fighter or are we talking about him as a person? Because as a fighter, this to me is significantly worse.
This is a sad whimper. This is like,
yes.
That's
his behavior was much worse in the Poirier.
So as an everlasting image, that was worse to me. This is just like sad.
Worse in morality in the terms of like,
that's what I'm saying.
You know, the judgment.
They
but
both
like,
suck, obviously.
It was, this is sad. This is just like,
yeah,
man.
It's almost pathetic.
Because to your point, you just said 38. He turns 38 years old on Tuesday.
Yeah. In the Poirier fight, you looked at a man who was angry, who seemed like he still had the will. This man walked out of the cage, whatever he was saying to the corner. That's it. Like how it goes.
In a sporting sense, like it looks worse.
Do you think that was the last time he ever competed?
Yeah, I think it's the last time anyone's gonna convince me he has a reasonable chance to win a fight.
Do you think he ever competes again?
Yes.
Yes.
Really? I thought you were gonna say no.
And I don't think it's gonna be pretty either.
I think he's gonna start
his body can't do this anymore. And he's gonna start doing different types of competitions, maybe this influencer stuff in a few years down the line. And I just think it's gonna really. All week we're talking about the magic of 2014 to 2016 when he was this phenom, this unbelievable run that we've never seen the like of before. every time he gets in there, he is dimming the light on that unbelievable thing he did and that unbelievable run he had. And
we're showing images right now, and this sounds cruel, not the Bruce Buffer one, but him holding the knee and this sort of mohawk, this aged look. This sounds mean, but it gives me Shaq Celtic vibes. It gives me players at the end of their career type vibes, where it's just like, yeah, that they just didn't have it there.
I can't tell you guys this. I got a text from our good friend Dr. Brian Suterer, who's always on point when it comes to these things. Didn't see the classic shift like an obvious ACL. I'd say meniscus number one. ACL definitely possible and a concern, but not the definitive kind like we've seen in others. Would fit with some meniscus issues coming into the fight that got worse on the landing. So there you have it from Dr. Brian Suterer, who always does an amazing job pinpointing these things. Just want to call out a couple of tweets that are floating around right now. Here's Islam Khachev weighing in on the proceedings. Connor beat Connor. Congrats, Max. And here's Jake Paul. I'm not sure if he's happy or sad about what happened. Yeah. That was a joke. He's very clearly...
Yeah, I think he's reveling in it. Another thing to add on the injury, Josh, our intern Josh Markowitz says that Megan O'Leary said that per UFC doctors, he was offered crutches but didn't use them and hobbled out of the building about 10 minutes ago.
And so if it was a torn meniscus... You know, I'm no doctor. Like, again, if people find out that there wasn't a torn ACL, and they will compare it to Carlos Ahlberg, they will say, well, why did you fight through it? Again, not every injury is the same. Not every body is the same. One's older than the other, et cetera, et cetera. All I'm trying to say is it's not going to be very kind for him out there, right? There's not going to be a sentiment. Like, forget about the Dustin wife stuff. When he injured himself, when he got injured against Dustin, it was like, damn, that was crazy, freak injury. This felt like it never even got started, and I think people feel some sort of way about that, right? Like, people get angry when they feel like they were not conned, but yeah, that it didn't deliver.
I think a lot of the people in that arena tonight that paid thousands of dollars, gosh, traveling, yeah, and doing everything like that, they probably feel some type of way. Yeah.
I don't know what my answer is if you ask me, do I think Conor McGregor will ever fight again? I really don't know. I think we have to hear from him. The fact that it's not an ACL makes me think that maybe he will. Because that's obviously an easier injury to come back from. Very clearly, Max Holloway wants him to fight again, and he wants him to fight against him because he obviously makes a lot of money when he fights against Conor McGregor, because in case you missed it, in his post-fight interview, he was repeatedly saying, let's run it back, let's run it back. It is wild that he injured his knee against Max all those years ago, won that fight, and now here you go, 13 years later, he injures his knee and, you know, can't continue. I mean, what's more symbolic than that? Oh, this is all speculation. It's impossible.
Took him 5 years to get back to this one.
Yeah, look, just he did say in the contract, April's in there. He has to fight before April to finish out that deal. Who knows? The UFC is not going
to
let him.
To blow his knee out in the first 10 seconds, though. Yeah.
No. And I don't know, you know, meniscus surgery. Look, we're not doctors. Maybe we get Dr. Brian on next week to talk about this sort of thing. And he's also, to a degree, speculating, but in a much more informed way. But yeah, just a real, I don't know what the word is. The reason I compared it to Gina versus Ronda, to me, Gina versus Ronda was unfulfilling. Yeah. Like we didn't get to see Gina throw a punch after hearing about her coming back. We didn't get to see him land a punch. That's why I feel unfulfilled.
I think to me, this one was just more shocking than that outcome. This one to me feels like,
oh, of course, the result. Dang. Yeah, but it just felt like, I just like, well, what? Yeah. You know, that's how I felt after Gina Ronda, and that's how I feel after this one. This one has an element of sadness because it just feels like we saw him kind of break down in front of our eyes, maybe for the last time. But that's, that's how I feel. That's how I feel after seeing that. A weird week, right? Like, there were moments where you're like, okay, what is this at the beginning of the week? Is he even partaking in anything? Then he shows up, and then you start to get those flashes of the past. Weigh-ins had a huge, what did Dana say? Like, I think he said 11,000 people or something like that. A crazy number. 7,500, I think he said, at the press conference. And then it ends like this. We have some footage of Conor McGregor limping. Where is this? This is out in the bowels.
Walking under his own power.
Of T-Mobile. You see a bit of a hop, skip. Someone behind him had crutches, but he's not using them.
No crutches.
A wild
one. It's an odd scene. It's just a bizarre scene.
We're just kind of sitting here trying to process it all. Let's talk very briefly about what happened in the co-main event, because what happened in the co-main event to me, I thought was going to be related to the main event. I was even saying as we were doing the watch along, like, oh, do they bring Patty out? Do they have him there? Obviously, much ado about nothing. But Patty Pimblett was given the slot of co-main event, not by chance. And who cares what happened in January at this point? Patty Pimblett gets the opportunity to showcase himself on the Conor McGregor card. We'll find out maybe down the line how many people were actually watching, but I'm sure it was a big number. And he came out, I mean, the complete 180 of what happened in the main event. He nailed it every single step of the way, from the walkout, which was absolutely electric, which had everyone singing and dancing, including all the celebrities in the front row. There's a shot there of everyone from Mike Tyson to Vince Vaughn to Tucker Carlson, Theo Vaughn, and on it goes, just dancing and doing the whole Patty the Batty thing. He comes out, he looks great, he looks happy, he nails the walkout, the entrance, all that stuff and more. And then he submits Benoit Saint-Denis via Darce choke in what was also a shocking turn of events in a very short amount of time, because Benoit Saint-Denis, you know, throws a kick and then all of a sudden, I think it was a kick, right? And then all of a sudden shoots and gets caught in a guillotine, which eventually ends up being a Darce choke here. And Patty is unbelievable on the ground. He's obviously very comfortable. That's his forte, the grappling side of things. And he chokes him out. Not just chokes, like out cold, an unbelievable turn of events, a glowing review, and then he nails the post-fight interview as well, because he says, Ilya, Connor, who else did he say? Justin. Max, Justin, you can all get it. Gives a very nice tribute to Diogo Jota, the former Liverpool player who tragically died along with his brother in a car accident around this time last year. He was unbelievable, right?
Like, A+.
That was magic.
It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. You cannot do it better than that. And on a night that culminates in an unfulfilling kind of feeling, this will be the lasting memory, right? On the biggest card, on the one that broke the gate record, on the one that everybody was here to see, Patty Pimblett's the one standing and celebrating. Patty Pimblett's the one, because Max Holloway doesn't even get to celebrate, right? Max Holloway's kind of just standing there waiting for his hand to be raised, but not really able to celebrate. Patty Pimblett leaves the lasting memory. Patty Pimblett's the biggest star of the night. Patty Pimblett's the one that came in there in a high-profile matchup where people were doubting him and going, you really probably aren't at this level. You lost to Justin Gaethje. Now, that one, in my opinion, I think is aged better. Some people may feel that it's worse. I think that's aged better because we now see how good Justin Gaethje can be at his best. But Patty Pimblett is the star of the night. Patty Pimblett is the one that when you walk away, when you go, man, that Conor card really like felt bad. But shit, Patty Pimblett, like that's the first thing you're going to say. You're going to say, but Patty Pimblett. And so A++, absolutely nailed it.
Biggest win of his career, right, Rick?
So many options for him.
Yeah. With the back against the wall, undoubtedly on a stage like that, on a Conor McGregor card to go out there and beat BSD in less than a minute.
An underdog as well, yeah.
I mean, we talk about, is Conor McGregor going to fight again? Now Max is, calling out a guy who we have no idea if he's going to return. He's sort of in this, like, what's next for Max? BSD as well. Patty Pimblett is just like, yep, champs on the list. He lost to him recently. Yeah, he called out Conor. Oh, well, we still have Ilya right there as well. The amount of big fights ahead for Patty Pimblett, it was a very special night for Patty Pimblett, no doubt about it.
I thought if Patty would have won and if Conor looked good, even in a loss, they'd try to book it. Obviously, now I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
To me, it's Patty versus Ilya.
Yes.
I mean, it's Patty versus Ilya. That is the one, right?
Armin against Justin, done. Book him.
Oh, yeah, it's all there.
That's it.
Actually writes itself.
I mean, it's 5 years in the making. When did they have that incident? In the hotel with the hand sanitizer?
Yeah, 2022. Yeah, hand sanitizer boy.
Isn't it crazy?
It's a different fight, like, because we were talking about this earlier, Rick, earlier this week, that one time it was like laughable to think that Patty Pimblett had a chance against Ilya, and now suddenly you're like, oh,
yeah,
it's a really good fight, actually.
Absolutely. From what Patty has shown, right, in these last two fights, the ceiling that I had for him has been adjusted. The ceiling that I've had for him has been adjusted. Now, we must recognize that BSD put that one on a platter for him.
Oh,
like we can't.
As a Frenchman, he loves the guillotine, eh?
We cannot. Like, it was unbelievable by Patty, and we've seen it do it before. And as far as it goes with the grappling, he is an absolute wizard. There's no doubt about it. But BSD shooting for that shot and leaving his neck exposed in that way.
It wasn't like he got rocked or anything like that.
No. He put his neck out there.
What happened?
He was shooting a double.
He went for a takedown. I think he wanted to dominate him on the ground, I guess. That was his plan.
Everyone who broke this fight down, including Eric Nixick, who texted me seconds later saying, boom, because he predicted this. Everyone who broke this fight down said, yeah, for Paddy to win, he needs to get the fight to the ground. Well, BSC just served that on a platter to him.
Yep.
I don't understand.
Also, I do want to point out, Pizza, you say, remember there was a time when we said, you know, Paddy Pimblett could never beat Ilia Topuria. It wouldn't even be competitive. That was like a month ago. Yeah. That was like right before the White House card. As Justin Gaethje was walking out to the White House card, it was like, Ilia Topuria, if he fought Paddy Pimblett, he would destroy him. And now here we are 4 weeks later, and it's just like, it's a pretty close fight. Book it. Done.
This sounds so stupid, and it might be just a stupid question, Ariel, but in a weird way, I know it's a terrible anticlimactic. The main event is a shit show. But is it like good in a way, like this event for the sport, because Paddy has been elevated into this situation? I know you don't have options off Conor, but having him at play and really giving him a superstar moment.
But it didn't need the main event for that to happen.
He had it regardless.
Yeah, he had
it regardless. And if Conor would have had some kind of good showing, you could have had that potential money-making fight down the line. But no, I mean, let's be honest, for the business of the sport, Paddy doing that is way better than getting knocked out cold by BSD just because Paddy is way more popular. I mean, you can make a strong case. Paddy Pimblett, top five most recognizable names in the UFC?
He's
up faces?
There. Yeah, he's in the top 10.
I would say top 10 for sure.
Oh, for sure. I was going to say top three. I mean, like, you're watching Champions League, he's being interviewed. Like, everyone knows him, especially, I feel like, obviously, the European fans. But here in America, they love him. Look at that walkout. Unique. The walkout was tremendous.
It's like McGregor in that, like, it's a whole performance. You know, like, from the get-go, there's an involvement. Everybody's expecting certain cues on the walkout for him to do certain things, which we're all very much missing tonight from McGregor when he went into the cage, which made me think there was something up. But he's nearly, like, a perfect replacement. He's never had that run that McGregor. He'll never have that run.
No.
That unbelievable run. But
nobody
in terms
will.
Of, a poster boy, in terms of a person who can get crowd involvement like nobody else can, he does feel like nearly a perfect replacement.
And forget fight week. He's interesting to people when he's not fighting.
Yeah.
That's the thing with Paddy, and that's the thing that Conor had, right? I think you're right in terms of he kind of feels like a successor to that. And I kind of get your point, right? I get where you're going with that, which is, to me, we may not have any Conor McGregor fights left, but we definitely have Paddy Pimblett fights left. And there will probably be quite a few of them. And if the next one is Ilia Topuria and he wins that, there's a chance that that launches him into a superstardom that is very rare.
Talk about that star power, man. I didn't even realize I've been sleeping on Paddy's game. He has 1.32 million subscribers on YouTube.
And this is what I mean. He has interests that has nothing to do with fighting. He's probably doing eating videos
One of his most recent videos, I got fat again, ..
Yeah.
Rip my diet.
Yep.
593,000 views.
Yep.
Yeah, people care about stuff outside of the octagon for this guy, absolutely.
Is there any way that the UFC wouldn't put him with Ilia, Ariel, because the fact that like they have something there, they have something with Ilia, they can rebuild in two different directions.
Perfect number one.
This is the best time.
Also, I think we're learning over these last few months, like, and everyone knows it in the fight game. Like, you can't plan things that far in advance because it moves so fast. It moves too fast.
This makes Justin Gaethje look that much better, right?
Yeah.
The fact
that
he did
that
to him, he just did it. Like, Justin Gaethje's stock just gets elevated. There continues to be talk of Justin Gaethje maybe fighting back into the year against Armin. There's this L.A. card. I doubt he comes back this soon. Armin fighting in L.A. would make a lot of sense. Here's, according to Kalshi, the what do we call this? Odds? What is the word? I know there's another word.
These are the odds.
Are the odds? Okay, Justin Gaethje.
He's trading at 69.
It seems as though the people think he will be champion by the end of 2026. I think that's also just a timing thing. I mean, he is still holding on to the idea that he may not fight again, which I think is probably public negotiations.
Paddy,
one of the other names up there, I was just focusing
Paddy
on
Paddy is in the second highest
Paddy,
odds.
Armin, Ilya at 5%,
Paddy
Armin
at
23%.
Paddy with a large jump here post-fight.
Yeah. They think that there's a chance. It seems like the public thinks that there's a chance that Paddy becomes Justin's next fight.
What's interesting, though, is they think that Paddy beats Justin in the rematch because they're saying who would be the title holder at the end of 2026.
30% of those people in that market believe that.
He still is. What was Gaethje's percentage there?
65 or so?
65? I mean, that's an overwhelming favorite.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the main event. Here's footage of Conor McGregor leaving T-Mobile, still limping, has not gotten changed.
Can they get him in a car?
Can they just give him those crutches? But maybe that's
no. He refused.
A pair of slides at this stage. You know what I mean?
Get him in the fucking car. Get him out of there.
So he is leaving the building, not meeting with the media. I spoke further to Dr. Suter here via text, and he says, my final thought is he came in with a meniscus injury. The video of him stumbling and not wanting to put weight on it while getting undressed, walking to ringside tonight is what leads him to believe that. When I asked him, why do you think that? He said he stumbled a bit, taking off his right shoe, and then went out of his way to not land back on that right knee. Broadcast pointed it out, maybe nothing, but I think it's worth noting. So ACL, definitely a possibility, he says, but didn't see the classic shift like we saw with Ullberg's knee, suspect meniscus number one.
Okay,
as
so
far as what the injury is. By the way, Max telling the UFC backstage that Conor was yelling to him, fight, fight. So at least as far as what Max is saying, he wasn't trying to get him to stop fighting, but I think Max, being the gentleman that he is and the sportsman that he was, I think kind of felt bad about going after him in that moment and told Mike Beltran to call it off.
It was very clear Max didn't want to finish that. He kind of wanted the referee to step in there. I don't think it's fair to compare this to Ullberg. If anybody out there is kind of going, well, Conor's a wimp or whatever because Ullberg tore his ACL and finished the fight, the important thing that you have to remember is Max Holloway's standing there, stepping away, not engaging, and going, look at this guy's leg, stop the fight. Whereas Jiří Procházka is coming forward trying to, you know, still fight, and Ullberg is in there. Like, there's just going to be differences between these guys, and we have to recognize that. Like, this idea that, like, everybody's going to be able to do what Ullberg did is just not reality. I don't think it changes my opinion of Conor McGregor or anything other than to say, I'm concerned about his long-term health. I'm concerned about him stepping back in there.
I'm concerned about what happens next with him.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question, though, before next? If he did come in with a long-term injury, like if he came in with something wrong, right?
Yeah.
Why would you throw that kick? If in fact, you were injured going into the fight, you would not throw a kick like that to put that kind of pressure on the right.
I'm watching videos of him warming up in the back, and he's blasting kicks when he's warming up.
So is it possible it was just a freak thing that
happened? It's possible.
Obviously, freak things happen when your body is breaking down and not in the same state that it once was. But the idea that, like, oh, look at the way he got out of his shoe might be a little bit...
It's all speculation until we hear from him.
Yeah, we're just sitting here speculating.
We need to hear, was he truly injured? Now, there's a chance that they don't actually ever reveal this properly, right? There's a chance that if he was injured, they never talk about it. That him, his team, and nobody ever talks about it.
In a way, you'd want to talk about it.
But then there might be that other side, right, where you say, I was compromised. Look, the Chandler fight that was booked and he pulled out for the toe, he got slaughtered. He got killed by people saying it was just a little bitty toe injury, he didn't make it. Now, potentially, he's injured in camp and makes it to the fight, and then this is the showing. There's really not great options when your body is breaking down like this. He's compromised in a way that I don't know that he can recover from.
We talk about Paddy Pimblett and the potential option of him fighting Conor McGregor. He was getting interviewed backstage, and when the Conor McGregor was happening, and his reaction was, oh, my God, McGregor's done already. He's finished. The new boy's in town. I can now officially become the face of the organization.
Wow.
Pretty perfect. That's exactly what it feels like.
By the way, we're all focusing on Conor and what this all means for him. And, you know, we do have to talk about Max, too. Like, we haven't brought him up, and it's a little bit of a shame.
Like, it does not feel like he won.
No, but where does he go? Where does he go from here? Does he stay at 170? Probably not.
Oh, no.
He said never say never when it comes to 170. But, man, like,
I throw one out there?
Yes.
What about Paddy?
I don't hate it.
If the Ilya fight.
Okay, if we can't do Ilya. Yeah I don't
bad
mind
shout.
That.
Max versus Paddy is a huge main event.
Yeah, two like iconic characters again.
And a little bit of a passing of the torch if Paddy beats him.
Yeah.
Max has been there.
And of course, there's the path to victory with Oliveira being so dominant in the grappling exchanges against Holloway as well.
I tell you, Oliveira versus Paddy would be a fun one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are we just, we're all like, it's definitely Ilya. And now we're like, oh.
Well, now I started to think about the options.
Ilya's up here.
One in the top five.
Ilya's up here for the options though. It's Ilya and Paddy 100%.
That's too good.
I think I thought it was a mistake at the time to book Justin versus Paddy and not do Ilya versus Paddy at that time.
But we all did.
Ariel's right though. Like, just forget the Holloway matchup is like, if you're trying to build Paddy right now, that might be the way to go. Because you've seen Oliveira have that success against him in a game plan, which
you're saying get him a top level win if he can do that, if he can do that in the grappling. But what if he can take out Ilya Topuria?
Ilya's not going to want to. I really don't think Ilya's going to be rushing back. I don't think he's at play yet.
No, but I mean, he just fought as well. Obviously, he didn't take a lot of damage. Regarding Max, Like, Max fought Ilya, got knocked out. I can't see them running it back, but maybe, because one's coming off a win, one's coming off a loss. Armin, we suspect, is getting the title shot. Charles Oliveira, he just fought him. It wasn't great. Benoit Saint-Denis just looked really bad and lost. And now we're into like a whole... once you get past BSD, it's Mateus Gamrod who's fighting Quill and Salkeeld.
These are the meta rankings, by the way.
But now you're getting into like a whole... Like, Max is on a different level. He's in a different stratosphere. So there's
a win over the champion of the UFC.
Honestly, if it's not Ilya, I think it's Paddy for Max.
That would make
sense. Who else is there? There's literally no one else.
Does this kind of feel like the first time that like 155, or at least in a while, that 155 isn't just like a death's row of killers?
Well, there's that little, like, right, this is meta, by the way. Paddy's below Renato Moicano?
Yeah, because it's on like recent history, and Paddy just lost.
I think he's sixth in the...
If you look at the media rankings, I bet he'll be higher,
go down.
So annoying. Annoying, the flip.
Yeah, Paddy is sixth. Yeah.
Okay.
So Moicano is 10 in the media rankings.
You know who I forgot about? Mauricio.
Hoofy versus
Mauricio
Max?
Mauricio versus Paddy.
Oh, Paddy.
Yeah, they're right next to each other, 5 and 6.
I thought you were saying for Max.
I've named like 7 options for Paddy.
It's definitely Ilya. Shut up.
If they don't do Ilya.
Paddy would be sick.
No. It's Ilya versus Paddy.
Ilya is a long way from coming back, I think.
I've sort of convinced myself that it's Max versus Paddy. Two fights that ended very quickly on the same night.
Charles for the BMF.
It's a great build for Paddy as well.
Charles for the BMF. Who, Ilya versus Charles?
Paddy.
I mean, this says it all about the night, though, right? We're now just rattling off Paddy options. It's Paddy. It's Paddy's world.
He's the boy.
Is he done to now 45 seconds in the cage with BSD? It's unlimited options.
Well, that's exactly the type of shit we're doing with Conor as well.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just as soon as, oh my God, all these options, everything sounds good beside Paddy's name.
I know you guys are wondering what Machine Gun Kelly thinks about
this. I was about to ask him.
He has taken to Twitter to react.
God. Oh, yeah, longtime rival.
Knees weak of old age, the real Conor can't stand up.
Yeah.
Fair play for tagging him with the clown emoji, but there it is. Remember that scene?
Yeah,
literally the little
MTV
face there.
Music Awards, I want to say.
Look at all the masks. What a time. Weak individuals.
Bring
them
back.
Masks, huh?
Sheep.
Freaking sheep. In case you're wondering...
rip those Desert Storm?
This would be a great time. In case you're wondering, the gate, $26.4 million.
Unbelievable. So resales?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, they didn't get the resale. Attendance, 20,076. Okay. UFC, 26.4. The last numbered event, which was Newark 2 months ago, because of course White House, the gate was a little over 7 million. Miami was a little over 6 million. The BMF fight was a little over 8 in Vegas. Sydney was 10 million. Golly, Sydney, crazy. And then the first numbered event of the year was 10 million. This courtesy of our good friend, Jedi Goodman. As far as the bonuses are concerned, fight of the night, any guesses?
Royval versus
That is
Kavanaugh.
Correct, and we'll get to that fight in a moment. Sophie Cunningham getting a
performance bonus.
That's right.
Absolutely not.
No, but she did serve as a special guest, Octagon girl.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Before the first round, PT, big yawn there. Get that on camera. Dana White reacting injury. I'm only seeing the performance. Do we have the other two there? I'm only seeing the...
Paddy has to be one.
I'm only seeing the fight of the night here. Everyone's talking.
Has to be.
Paddy is like the.
Paddy Pimblett and King Green won the other two, and we'll get to those in a moment. Dana White reacting to the injury. I was expecting at least a one round war. We're assuming blown ACL. The doctors think the same too, not our own. Dr. Suter. Can I call him our own? He's sort of.
He's our own. He's our
resident doctor.
Yep. And that's all starting. He's.
But is he walking out like that on a blown ACL?
Not a doctor.
I remember Clay Thompson walking to the back after a blown ACL. Okay, let's give some love to the other fighters on this card because there were a tremendous amount of performances that were amazing. Mario Bautista, Corey Sandhagen was an amazing fight, eventually won by Mario Bautista via decision. He won the first round, almost locked in a Suliev stretch and then a knee bar. And it seemed like for a moment, Corey Sandhagen in between the first and second rounds was injured, but then he comes back in the second round and looks like
Yep.
A brand new guy and wins that round. But in the end, Batista wins in the third round. He said he wanted to fight for the belt next. I don't think that's going to be the case. Obviously, there's Merab Dwalishvili out there who wants to fight Peter Yan next. There's Sean O'Malley, who he has ties with, Arizona boys. But I love that fight. First things first, it was flying under the radar, and I was very impressed with Mario Bautista.
Yeah, he stepped up. He did exactly what he needed to do. You have to give a lot of, you know, we're talking about Conor McGregor. You have to give a lot of love to Corey Sandhagen, who obviously was like very compromised after that first round. His own knee was affected and continued to stay in the fight. Had a valiant second round, as you said. But Mario Bautista came in and righted the wrongs of last time, right? He knew what that felt like to lose to Corey Sandhagen, and he did not want to feel that again. He's a super talented guy. The fight against Umar really showed me that he can hang with the best of the best of the best. And this is another example of that. You feel for Corey, who has been somebody who keeps climbing up and up and up and then getting kicked back down the mountain and up and up and up. But just another setback for him. I imagine that he'll be able to persevere and come back. But for Mario Bautista, he's not going to get the next title shot, but it's hard to imagine that he's far away. It's hard to imagine he's more than one or two away.
Brandon Royval versus Lonnie Kavanaugh had a similar flow to it.
Yeah.
In that Brandon Royval wins the first round, Kavanaugh wins the second, and then Brandon Royval wins the third. And this was an unbelievable, unbelievable fight. What an unbelievable showing this was from Brandon Royval coming out a year after the war against Joshua Van on International Fight Week, in which he does not win, obviously. He gets this big win over Lonnie Kavanaugh, who had looked amazing as of late as well. What do you think of Brandon Royval, PT?
I thought it was incredible. And we were kind of talking about this matchup earlier in the week where we're like, that will piss off Brandon Royval being put against this guy that they're trying to kind of wrap a rocket ship onto his back after coming off the Joshua Van loss. You're like, oh, you're going to put me with another lad that you probably want to just put up in that title conversation. And look, Lonnie came back. He fought his way back into that fight, but Royval just wasn't allowing him to gain any momentum. He took it straight back off him. I think it's not the worst thing in the world for Lonnie Kavanaugh. He's still a kid. He's still a very young guy. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he ends up in the title conversation further down the line. This is a good loss for him in a way, because it's a very exciting fight, and Royval's a very, very good fighter. And I think it was brilliant. I think there was a lot of good fights on this card, but this one kind of takes the biscuit for me. Paddy performance, but this is clearly the best fight on the card. And King Green as well had another brilliant fight. But I wouldn't be too worried if I was Lonnie Kavanaugh.
You say a good thing for him. Some might say, in the words of the great New York Rick, the best thing to ever happen to him.
Best case scenario.
Best case scenario.
I'll leave that up to Rick.
No.
I'm very excited to see where Lonnie Kavanaugh's career goes from here. An incredibly exciting fight. He's obviously a very skilled fighter. Was having a lot of success against Brandon Royval, you know. 1-1 going into that third round. Anything can happen at that point. Royval comes out the victor by getting the choke. I really want to see him tested more against this upper echelon of the division. You know, he got that main event on short notice against Brandon Moreno in Mexico earlier. Unbelievable performance at elevation. Wins by unanimous decision. Absolutely puts it on Brandon Moreno. But that was sort of that first foray into the upper echelon. He gets another test against Brandon Royval, comes up short. I want to see him continue to
be tested.
That
expedited his growth as well. He wasn't originally booked
for that
fight.
He was like ranked 15.
Yeah,
so
he beats Moreno. Now, all of a sudden, where do you go from here? You have to fight a Royval.
You got
to
fight a top five.
Maybe take a bit of a step back now. Let's talk about the first fight on the main card. We were all foaming at the mouth. King Green, Terrence McKinney. They did a great job of selling this fight all week long. Like, they were doing their best to steal some of the headlines. And it looked like it was going to be, at a time, a Terrence McKinney sub. It looked like at a moment Terrence McKinney was going to finish King Green. King Green bleeding, crimson mask. Terrence McKinney, as you can see, taking his back, trying to get the arm under the chin. It doesn't happen. And then all of a sudden, King Green, with his own custom shorts, turns the table. Now, in the moment, GC, I was saying I thought he had survived the round. No one seems to have agreed with me, but he gets the win at 4:59, King Green, of the first round. By the way, great moment as he's taking his back, McKinney. He's just hitting him with bitch shots. And I'm not calling them bitch shots because I'm trying to be cool. He's literally punching and calling him a bitch every time he's landing those punches.
It was incredible. All of us were on tilt for it. We couldn't wait for it. Anytime Terrence McKinney steps in the octagon, whether he wins or loses, it's always exciting. But the fact that it swung in that way, The fact that it looked like Terrence McKinney was getting ready to finish Bobby Green. He had him mounted. He had him flattened out at one point. Bobby Green fights all the way back. And then King Green fights all the way back. Thank you for the correction. Fair play. He's on a 4-fight win streak. Got to at least give him the respect. He's got the KG on the side of the custom shorts as well. For him to be able to do that. And then we're watching it and we're doing the countdown. 5, 4, 3. And then he gets the finish there. one of the most exciting rounds that we're going to see the entire year. And for King Green to find himself at almost 40 years old, now on a four-fight winning streak, it's incredible, man. He's just one of those guys, 54 professional fights at this point. You're always going to be able to throw him on the early fights on a main card of a pay-per-view or on, you know, a co-main of a fight night. Like, he's always going to be there, and it doesn't seem like he's slowing down, man.
I did not see this coming from him. Like, this is a guy that we were talking about in Strikeforce being his sort of, like, mid-carder in 2010, 2011. His longevity is astounding.
15 months ago, he was on the wrong end of a KO of the Year nominee against Mauricio Hoofy to be like 1-3 in his last four.
Oh my gosh, yes.
The sport just like it.
Every time you think you've figured it out, and maybe that's a lesson for us for what we're talking about in the main event, every time you think you've figured it out, it's like, oh yeah, and then the guy goes on a four-fight winning streak.
The fastest moving sport on earth, it's not even close.
Be honest, you're pissed off about that stoppage a little bit, I think, aren't you?
I didn't think it was the right call. In the moment, live, and I haven't watched it back, I thought McKinney had survived the round. And I feel it's sort of pissed, I think, is strong, but like I thought it was the wrong call, and it reminded me of the Pumi Nakuda-Adriano Moraes fight. I thought that was the wrong call, too. It seems like the referees, well, honestly, it reminds me of Rico Verhoeven versus Alexander Usyk. We've seen a few times now in combat sports where the referees are stopping fights post-ending of the round, and they're saying, oh, is that the buzzer? I don't know. It just seems to happen a lot these days.
Yeah. No, I understand.
But I'd like to watch it again. Maybe I've only seen it live. And
no, you're right. That
I wanted
happen.
To see them. It was right so the freaking close.
In the ref's defense, he was right there. You know, 6-7 seconds ago, he is standing right there because that body.
I'm not trying to take anything away from
like
King
Green.
It
folded Terrence McKinney.
The comeback was unbelievable.
Crazy,
it was mesmerizing. Crazy. It was amazing because he was literally on the verge of being submitted. He's all bloodied up. It looks like it's a horrible situation for him. And he comes back and finishes the fight. And then a great post-fight celebration, giving the double birds to the camera as well. Let's talk about Robert Whittaker moving up to 205, getting a finish, breaking Nikita Krylov's jaw, we suspect. Here we are acting as doctors. But he did land a massive punch, and Nikita kind of moved back and said, no mas. And that seemed to be the telltale sign. This is a guy who has a finish at 170, who has many a finish at 185, and now gets a finish at 205. And look at that shot right there. By the way, are these Esther Lynn's?
She was cage side, so yeah.
She was cage side. I hope we're using some of Esther Lynn's shots. I don't know if those are hers, but she was cage side for us, the great all elbows. This is a guy who, you know, I think in a very shallow 205-pound division, this is a guy who I think, there it is.
Oh,
speaking of Esther, shout out to Casey. This is the photo.
Oh, my God. This is Tony Ferguson against Michael Chandler-esque.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Turning him into an 80-year-old man. What a performance by Robert Whittaker.
Yeah, this is the guy who I think is like one or two fights away from fighting for the belt, no?
He's definitely a name that this division needs, right? Like,
just because the division is so shallow.
It's so shallow, and it needs somebody who can inject some life into it in a way that he can. I'll be the first to admit, I didn't think this 205 foray was going to go particularly well. You know, standing across from Krylov, he looked small. He just didn't look like he was going to be able to physically kind of meet that challenge. And in the early going, it felt like maybe that was coming to fruition. But when he survived early danger and was able to kind of get into his flow, it was just Robert Whittaker, man. He's going to be more technical. He's going to be better than a lot of these guys at 205 when it comes to the technique, because as you kind of like creep up the divisions, once you get the heavyweight, technique's pretty much out the window, but 205 isn't great at that. Robert Whittaker is all technique. And so if you put him in a division where he can kind of find the right matchups, I think he can have some success. He's always going to be kind of undersized, but he can have some success.
What do you do? Do you put him against Paulo Costa?
I was going to say Nikita Krylov is 12.
Rematch.
That's a great fight.
Jump him up to... He really could be two wins away,
I think,
heavyweight away from the title.
He's a huge name.
Yep.
The division is very shallow. Oh, by the way, the champion has a torn ACL, so we don't know what's going on there. There's a big fight coming up with Magomed Ankalaev and Khalil Roundtree. Yep. I'm not saying put him up there just yet. There's a difference between Krylov and those guys.
Yep.
But they're going to try to want to expedite him. And let's be honest as well, Whittaker says he's not here for a long time.
Yeah.
Like he's in the twilight. By the way, for a guy who's talked about mental health issues and whatnot, to see him so happy all week long, to see him come out from Australia with his five children, fair play to him to come to fight, you know, with five kids under probably the age of eight or something like that. Like I know, Rick, you can you can sympathize with this. It's not easy flying that far with three kids, let alone five.
Yeah.
So shout out to Robert and his whole family. That was a great moment. And what about former Buffalo Bill roster training camp attendee Gable Steveson?
What about him? Let the lad take it away. Let the lad take it away.
Tell us everything.
Don't tell us about guys. I don't want to sit here and just say I told you so. But I told you so. I mean,
tell us about Gable Steveson.
All week I was hearing about Elisha Ellison and how he was going to be the stumbling block. He's a fantastic fighter. Look, the odds didn't reflect that. The odds were all in Gable Steveson's favor in a major way. He was the biggest favorite in UFC history. But there was a lot of chatter. There was a lot of chatter about this being the stumbling block for Gable Steveson. My true feelings, my honest takeaway from the fight were he got cage time, right? He made his UFC debut. He was able to get past that, right? Which we've seen, and it has hurt other fighters before. There have been octagon jitters are a thing that has happened, and so to get him in there is step one. But I will admit being a little frustrated by the matchup because I think he's better than that. I think he could have done this against somebody who has a little bit more of a name, and it would have meant more. Getting this didn't really show me much. There was nothing new that I learned about Gable Steveson. I already knew he was kind of tough. He took that head kick pretty flush down in Mexico and ate it and kept on coming. I already know he can wrestle, right? If you're living under a rock, like
Elisha Ellison stuff to take down.
Yeah, that's
true. I've already got the shirt printed on the way.
Okay, so let me put it to
how
you.
How many fights before he fights for the title, Rick? Stop with all this flowery bullshit.
You're asking me a question.
No, you
tried to do this last time. You're asking me a question. You're asking me a question.
This guy right here.
You're asking me a question that I can't answer because I think he should have fought somebody tougher than Elisha Ellison in his first fight. He can fight like a Derek Lewis.
Were you truly impressed with the performance?
No.
It was just...
Exactly what I expected.
By the way, there was a moment there. Ref stopped the fight. Looked like he hit. Okay, actually, it was weird.
It was not a low blow.
I don't actually think he hit him below the belt.
No, it was not a low blow.
But Ellison says he hit him below the belt. And Mark Goddard then reacted to that, which is not exactly what you should be doing in that moment. Like, you should either see it or not. He wasn't going to stop it, or at least pause the fight, unless, you know, if Ellison didn't do anything. So that was a little bit weird. But I was getting flashbacks to a degree of Brock Lesnar versus Frank Mir. One, Steve Mazzagatti stops the fight. This highly anticipated. Here's the thing about Gable Steveson.
Yeah,
I agree with everything you say. We went and sent Casey to Mexico to shadow him. Like, I believe he's going to be a stud. Rogan kept saying, with all due respect to Rogan, who seems to be a big fan of the show as well, so I'm not trying
You're
to...
Mate.
Thank you so
You're
much.
Mate,
I really
Careful.
Appreciate it.
Careful.
Most anticipated heavyweight debut ever. No. Like, Brock was way bigger.
Yeah.
Brock
yeah.
was... WWE heavyweight champion.
Alistair Overeem. Like, there's guys that had come and that it's just
there felt
not
like
even
there was
close.
No major buzz for that.
There was no major buzz.
I think it's the fact that he was fighting Elisha Ellison.
That's it.
No disrespect to Elisha Ellison, but there's the levels to it.
And Overeem totally fought Brock in his debut. Yeah, of course.
I know this has become
a lot of media. I tried to get him on. Like, he only did what was being asked of him. The bare minimum as far as, like, the backstage stuff. He did start a beef with Bo Nickel, which
sure
surprised
did.
Me out of nowhere.
I mean,
talked about Josh Hogan
as
well.
Like,
yeah.
He's only 4-0 in the sport.
But I know this has become the thing. I'm the Gable Glazer. It's fine. I own it. I accept
Gable
it. It's fine. It's fine. It is what it is.
We've actually updated it to the Gable Gobbler.
That one feels a little worse to me. I don't know if I can abide. All right. Gable Gobbler number one right here. All right. Truth be told, though, if he stepped in there with the Derek Lewis that fought Josh Hokit at the White House.
Sure.
He wins that fight.
Sure.
Yes?
Sure.
That's all my point is. We can expedite this timeline. He's going to beat Ciryl Gane. It's fine. It is what it is. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to go back to that.
If he steps in there with Sergey Spivak.
Yes, he will beat Sergey Spivak at this point in his career.
Do you want a quick turnaround?
I think you have to.
We need to put him on, like, the boxing train.
That's
it. Put him on Abu Dhabi card, bro.
Hamzat.
Thomas Peterson next.
No.
And then maybe Chase Sherman after that.
Oh, get the fuck out of here
with this
shit. Bring
back Jared Vandera.
No, come on. Let's be real.
What about my man Tanner Boser? A fight like that.
Big Tanner.
No, rankings.
You want him in there.
Okay.
Yes, bro.
Mick Parkin at 14. Yeah, Ryan Spann at 15. Walter Walker at 11. Vitor Petrino at 10. How could he not be in the caliber of these guys? Sergey Spivak. Let's do it.
No.
Listen,
bear.
I'm glad he finally got the debut out of the way.
Who's that?
Arisic?
Oh, Brando Arisic.
I really was only using his nickname.
Brando Arisic.
You guys were going to get it.
I got it, baby.
I'm glad he finally got the debut out of the way. cool to see, you know, Greg Jackson, Brandon Gibson, John Jones in his corner. Like, yeah. They're putting him on the rocket, and, you know, they're taking their time. I have no problem with him fighting Ellison, by the way. Fourth pro fight, give him some time. He's still very raw.
It's Val Woodburn-esque.
He was overextended. Like, I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it. Better to... Give him five more cupcakes. Build him up. There's no rush.
It's fun for us to just see him mowing through some guys.
There's no rush, in my opinion. No rush whatsoever.
Two fights away from toilet.
Adrian Yanez knocked out Cody Garbrandt. It appeared as though Cody Garbrandt was taking off the gloves. We never heard from him, so don't want to speculate as to what that meant. Of course, we all remember Brock Lesnar taking off the gloves at WrestleMania a couple of weeks ago or months ago in this very city, and then he came back a month or so ago. So that's something that is a little bit sad to see, because Cody Garbrandt in that very building 10 years ago beat Dominic Cruz in one of the greatest performances by a challenger in a title fight. Adrian Yanez deserves all the credit in the world. I think he's one of the best boxers at 135. He has tremendous striking. So that was a great win for Yanez. Luke Riley with a great win. I thought a little bit, I'm not trying to be that guy, but a little premature as well against Kai Kamaka. I thought it was just a smidge premature.
Premature stoppage, you got it.
I'm being told your mic is not working at the moment. I don't know why. Frank's coming in to help you out. So,
sorry, right. Connor. Yeah, that's true. It did happen last year as well.
Luke Riley beat Kai Kamaka via standing TKO. Solid win for the next gen up and comer.
He's great. And look, it kind of again, we're doing this a lot now, but it does kind of feel like the McGregor moment with the guys coming in the back, the Kyle Pendrons, the Paddy Hewlins. Like, you know, this guy is such a big star that they want what he's selling. And if you're in that same spot with him, if you're in his orbit and you can perform, you will get an opportunity. And Luke Riley is definitely equal to the opportunities.
I'm mispronouncing Kong Wang, because we've now learned of a new way.
They call her Wang Tong. That's what they say on the broadcast.
She beat Tracy Cortez via unanimous decision. And then afterwards, called out Valentina Shevchenko, old foe from the Muay Thai
Not going to happen. Yes.
Kickboxing days?
Yeah, I think it was a kickboxing fight. Maybe more time. I forget.
Probably not going to happen. No. I remember asking Valentina about her, and she didn't seem all that interested.
It seemed to bother her, so there's something there.
Yeah, there is something there.
But I don't think ready.
She's not a compelling counterpoint to her just yet.
She's got personality, but she's the performance. Look, it was a domination of Tracy Cortez. It didn't look like at any point it was in doubt. Tracy Cortez was not performing well.
Shoot up her lead leg.
But she's not going to get to Valentina, in my opinion. Like, it's just, she's not going to do enough to get
there. Too long of a road.
It's too far.
Damian Pinas beat Cesar Almeida via first round knockout. That was incredible. What?
Pinas.
Yeah, was that not?
Damian
Pinas. Am I wrong?
He just kind of went hard pin. Oh, jeez.
Hard or not?
Pinas?
They're calling
Fareed Basharat beat John Garva via unanimous decision. Ryan Gandra knocked out Zach Reese. In the
Nasty
first
one.
Round.
Nasty
that
one.
Was a very impressive knockout as well. And Alessandro Costa with the submission win over Cody Durden. Did you want to say
what
that?
What you got, GC?
I was just going to say, it was a popular meme, the penis Wang parlay hit. Yeah.
Wow. I was not familiar with that one. I'm trying to keep my head or my mind out of the gutter. Dana White speaking to the press. Now, I will say, right now, my timeline is flooded with complaints, actually getting a bunch of texts about the press conference being a total shit show.
In what way?
All focused on Zuffa boxing.
What?
Questions.
What the
waste of time.
At the press conference?
Right now, yeah.
They're asking about Zuffa boxing?
About the questions being asked. And
he seemed very frustrated.
Here we are. Here we are, a mile away. Put out the bat signal. You want real
sentiment
to show up and save the day? Just let us know where to show up. Back of T-Mobile. Anyway, here's Dana White talking about the injury for one Conor McGregor.
I mean, I was expecting at least a one-round war, or, you know, who knew what Conor was capable of as far as cardio or whatever else after a five-year layoff. And, well, there you go. I mean, we're assuming blown ACL. I'm no doctor, but that's what I figured when I saw it, and doctors think the same thing, too.
Now, it was a great night for the UFC, a ton of celebrities there. All kinds of big names. Their latest signing to Zuffa Boxing, Shakur Stevenson, who we spoke about yesterday, in attendance. And they flashed up on the screen. Shakur looking phenomenal. The jewelry, everything nice. On fleek, dare I say.
It's fleek.
But the lower third, which is... Do we have a lower third to explain to the... Like, the lower third is the thing that happens here. It's like the nameplate, if you will. if you have one of me, I don't know if you have one of me, just it's a lower, it's the lower third of the screen. Anyway, it said Jalen Williams of the OKC
There's
Thunder.
There's a lower third.
There it is, right there. That's called the lower third in the business. Well, the one under Shakur said Jalen Williams. How do you think Mr. Dana White felt about
it? I'd say he took it easy. I'd say he said, you know what, guys, we all make mistakes. That actually wasn't Jalen Williams. That was the new signing I had, Shakur Stevenson.
You think he was
I paid
reasonable
millions upon millions for this guy. It's no big deal.
Understanding.
That's where he is, man.
The UFC truck not knowing boxers allegations, I got to be right. Do you not remember Kendrick Lamar for Terrence Crawford?
Oh,
I mean,
Pete, you may be right. He was very understanding.
I know. That's
much. Let's take a look at
Dana White. I imagine it was so calm in that production truck. That's why they were so scared to show any more nameplates. Let's hear it.
We all make mistakes.
I tell you all the time, my production team, we just did the White House. We built a fucking arena on the South Lawn of the White House, and it was the greatest fucking thing in the world to be there live and to watch it on TV. I just paid Shakur Stevenson a shitload of money, and for some reason, we can't figure this celebrity shit out. They put him up as a fucking OKC NBA player. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, it's just, it's absolutely crazy. But we are the absolute worst to ever do the celebrity thing. When we put celebrities up, we are the worst. I just had this fucking debate in the back with my guys while I was screaming at everybody back there. And they said, no, soccer's worse. Soccer shows the people and they don't put up any graphics. Oh, no. We put up fucking graphics and put the wrong guy's name on it. We win. We're the worst ever to fucking do.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Jalen Williams.
It would have been fucking hilarious if the truck put up a wrong name for Dana White right in that moment just to fuck with him.
Not know boxing.
They don't know boxing, clearly.
But I mean, like, that's Shakur Stevenson, man.
Yeah.
He did a press conference.
Not just boxing, but who was like, there he is. Yep, that's Jalen Williams. Was Jalen Williams even there?
I know, they never showed him. They showed Chet Holmgren.
Shout out to Chet Holmgren.
I'm sure he was there.
That clip of Dana is hilarious and freaking out like that. But God bless whatever fucking production assistant or AP put that
graphics.
Up. And that was, graphics department that put that
up. Maybe Frankie in the back sympathizes with those people with, you know, how the audio went.
Hey, cut it out. No?
Okay, sorry.
The audio was messing up earlier, or are you talking about on Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Why are we doing this?
I mean, there was a...
What do you get off
cacophony
this?
No,
solidarity.
Solidarity. I'm taking a fucking day off.
Speaking of audio, there was a very important question asked at the press conference to Dana White about the full replays. He said he's been getting a lot of shit in his own house from his own kids. They're working on it with Paramount. It's a music issue.
Oh, it's a music issue.
I have
to say, my brother, obviously performed at the White House. He was pissed when there was no full flight replays.
Light flex.
He was like, hey, man, how do I watch the full flight replay? I was like, nah, man, you can't.
Why was it doable on ESPN? Why were they able to show it and not Paramount Plus? You'd think they'd have the money.
They're working on it, man.
Okay, here's Aaron Bronstetter of TSN. Sorry, not TSN anymore, Sportsnet. Does a great job of recapping the Dana stuff. Let me just read a couple here as it just wrapped up. He was... very pleased with Gable Steveson, called the debut incredible, says it's going to be very fun and interesting to match him up. He said that people can read between the lines on Ryan Garcia and Conor Benn being on stage together yesterday at the ceremonial weigh-ins. He said that Sophie Cunningham of the Indiana Fever is going to be fighting for them. No, just kidding. Said it was decided 8 minutes before she did the ring walk thing to do that, or whatever, the octagon girl thing. So a very spur of the moment.
Damn, so she was just like in the crowd ripping drinks, and they were like, yo, get up there. And she was like, all right.
I think she probably volunteered.
Chuck just said Jalen Williams was definitely there, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Chuck.
He said that it's up to Cody Garbrandt whether or not he retires. I guess the question sometimes has been asked of Dana, do you want this person to retire? He's leaving it up to him. And he says that Nikita Krylov's jaw was not broken, as was feared. So there you have it. Guys?
Yes.
It's been fun.
It has been. What a blast. Thanks for joining us, guys.
My first ever watch party, your first ever watch party as well.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Let me do it again.
Got a freedom.
Whenever you're ready, man.
I do want to let everyone know we are going to be back here on Monday. Usually, we go home on Sunday, but we're sticking around. We thought the whole team could have a nice day off together, hang out.
Stay off together.
Maybe a little Hell's Kitchen, a little NBA Summer League. Like, really,
what could be better than that?
Give me a fucking break.
A couple
camaraderie. Really come together as one. Because, after all, it's all of our days off.
Yes.
But 95% of us want to hang out together on our day off.
What are you doing tomorrow, Frank? Do we have the plans?
Yeah, I'm not sharing them with you guys.
Yeah.
It's maybe just, we could tag along.
No, that's the general idea.
We're going to have a great time.
Yeah. He's going to give us a speech at the end of this, and he's going to be like, hey, by the way, guys, I'm not going to see you at all tomorrow. I'll see you Monday morning.
I will not see you. Don't bother me. Don't call me. Peace and love. Peace and love. He's very Ringo Starr in that regard. Nothing
beyond
post-
October.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
No more mail. Beyond October.
So much.
But we will be back on Monday in this very studio for our final show from Las Vegas. It's been an unbelievable trip so far, but there's still more fun to be had. I can already tell you that Mayhem Miller is going to join us in studio.
So
maybe he can help us break it all down.
Maybe he can help us break it all
down. Careful what you wish for.
First time in studio since?
Wow.
Yeah, maybe. It must be.
Wow. First
time. You've seen him in person since, but you've not had him in the studio since.
Yes, yeah, we're going to need your help there. Frankie to be security guard. So that'll be on Monday. Hopefully some of the winners from this weekend as well. And then we'll be back on the road to return to New York City on Wednesday. Tuesday we'll have something else for you, so stay tuned for that. We'll never leave you empty-handed here at Uncrowned HQ, Vegas HQ. But for now, it is time to go. For our entire team here in Las Vegas, the whole crew in the back as well, our entire team in New York and scattered across this great world, I'm Ariel, that's New York Rick, that's GC, that's Pete C. Good night from Las Vegas. Thanks for watching.